Welcome to Career Tools, our guidance on sharing personal information with your boss. Here we go. Okay, Wendy, so at our conferences, typically the Effective Manager Conference, we ask everybody who here shares everything with their boss.
And everybody immediately raises their hands.
Of course, no hands ever go up. And the point of that, the point we're making when we do that is we're asking managers who are there to understand that their directs don't share everything with them. Right. And they realize, oh, yeah, there are so many managers who think, oh, my people share everything with me. I'm just smarter than that. And so therefore, I don't share with my boss. Well, no, whatever behavior you engage with your boss is likely to be mimicked, not mimicked, but very similar to how your directs treat you because you're their boss and they're not dumb. So we know that no sensible professional shares everything. And even though many of us think our personal and professional lives are separate, and we wouldn't dream about telling our boss about children problems in school, medical problems, and so on, there's still hazards here that we need to be aware of.
Yeah. Some people don't share anything, and some people share everything, and there's a place in the middle. It's probably a better place than either at either end.
Okay, good. So what's our outline?
Okay, so first of all, share as much as you want. When you want consideration, share more. Don't expect confidentiality. And judge risk by your boss's behavior.
Okay, good. I'll tell you, when you and I first started talking about this, Cast, I kind of said, ooh, share as much as you want. But the guidance is accurate, so let's go. Now, we start by saying this. Some people mistakenly believe that their boss is their best friend, and they tell them everything. We don't recommend that, right?
No, I once worked for a woman who's I was temping for her secretary who was off on maternity leave. And the boss would phone the secretary every morning at 7 a.m. and the secretary would tell her what to wear.
Wow.
That's too close. And we're not going to go into that on this. And there are reasons not to have relationships that are that close.
Right.
Lots of reasons, but that's really not what we're covering today. Really what we're covering is the people who think the opposite, who have a really clear separation between their personal things and their work things.
Yeah, for those people who don't want to share. Yeah,
absolutely.
That said, you have to be careful, guys. If you're not willing to share at all, you're essentially saying, I'm less than a complete person to your boss, and your interest in privacy is completely understandable. If you wish to behave that way, that's okay. But there are, unfortunately, repercussions of that. You're keeping your boss at a distance can put you in situations where he or she doesn't know you well enough to trust you well enough, and so on. And that can be difficult as well. And so I assume this would be guidance for somebody who doesn't like to share anything and who might be able to say, my boss is unaware of my kids' ages and names. Whether he wants to know it or not, it doesn't matter because I haven't told him that.
Yeah, and I'm choosing not to.
Yeah, I'm choosing not to. Okay, so I assume we're going to tell him. We're not going to tell him everything.
No, absolutely not. As I said, both are into that spectrum are not great places to be. You don't have to start suddenly telling your boss everything. But we're going to try and convince you that there's a professional value in sharing more. But there is no requirement for you to bring your personal life into your workplace. There isn't.
Yeah, I think that unfortunately, when it comes to bosses, people think professional, and too many people define professional in a specifically anti, not a personal, but anti-personal way. And mm-hmm. Guys, that's just not so, because you bring your intellect, your emotions, your considerations, your family issues. Even if you're private, you still, your family, your time alone, your relationships outside of work affect you. And there just seems to be an awful lot of people who do one or the other, who overshare with their boss, meaning they share everything, which, folks, that's not appropriate, okay? The fact that it is initially a professional relationship means that there are some rules. For those people who then say the other extreme, well, they say, well, okay, fine, Mark and Mike and Wendy and Danny all say, no, you can't, you know, you're not supposed to share everything because you can't be friends with your boss. Then some people say, well, fine, then I won't share anything. And we don't agree with that because you are a whole person. And it is detrimental to your relationship with your boss. Many people don't understand that even though Mike and I are former military, and you might assume grossly mistakenly that the military runs on role power, manager tools and career tools are all built on the power of relationship power, meaning developing a solid, significant relationship in the professional vein. But professional does include personal. You cannot say, I trust someone, and then know nothing about them personally. Or let me put that differently. It is unlikely that you can develop high levels of trust with your boss if you say there will be no personal. You will not know. That's simply against human nature to do that. And so you don't have to tell everybody everything. And telling too little is probably not helpful. Some people share more. Some people share less. Okay. But we're saying here, share as much as you want, but recognize either end of the spectrum is probably inappropriate, and feel free to get to know your boss before you feel like you can share more with her. If in the first 6 months you don't want to share anything, we would respect that. If you've worked for the same boss for 2 years and she has given you no reason to believe that she's not trustworthy, other than you would say, I never trust my boss, you're missing out and expecting the organization to do everything you want it to do on your behalf is going to be very hard if you're not willing to trust your boss. And after 2 years, if they've done nothing to earn mistrust or distrust, then perhaps you ought to consider starting to share a little bit more.
Yeah. If they need a robot on the line, they'd get a robot. Yeah. The robot would just do its tasks and never talk to anyone and never need a day off and never need any consideration for anything.
It's funny you mentioned the robot because I worked at an auto plant in northern Ohio, northeastern Ohio once, and they were putting robots in. And it was a unionized plant and a bunch of good people producing very good product. And the robots came in and the union went crazy. The union said, you can't do that. You know, you're violating the rules. And they actually showed them, no, we're really not. This is an automation thing. And we have carve outs for automation. And then the union said, well, you can't get to know them. You can't motivate a robot. You can't, you know, you can't get more out of a robot when you need to get more. They probably always work at 90% of maximum within maintenance rules and so on. But at the same time, the union was saying, you can't do one-on-ones with us. You can't, you know, we don't want you spending any time, managers spending time developing individual relationships. Because the union person, the steward, the shop steward, said to me privately, if that happens and there are good managers, they're going to develop individual relationships such that that relationship will trump the individual contributor's relationship with the union. Mm-hmm. And so we want their relationship with the union. And I remember the plant manager's a brilliant guy, just a super smart and very young guy, said, this seems to me like an illogical argument. You believe that we can't motivate these robots. And I would say, arguably, you're right, although their performance is pretty impressive compared to a human being. And after the capital's amortized, they're really cheap. He says, but you seem to say that we can't develop a relationship with them, so we can't motivate them to do more. We can't develop them. But then you're telling us we can't relate to you either. Mm-hmm. We can't engage in things in order to develop the relationship, which would allow you to contrast yourself favorably with these non-human robots. Okay, so it's up to you guys how much you want to share. But the next point.
You can be the robot. You can come into work. You can do your job and you can leave again. That's absolutely fine. The point that might change your mind is when you want consideration, you might want to share more. Yeah. Where the robot never asks for a day off. It never asks for an early afternoon. It never says, do you know what? I don't feel well today. I'm just going to get done what I can get done and then I'm going to go home. It's because a robot always works, right? So yeah. If you want those kind of things, if you want a day off or consideration when you're ill or those kind of things, you're going to have something the robot doesn't have, and that's a relationship with your boss.
What most organizations say, no, I'm sorry, that's wrong. What most good organizations, professional organizations would say is it is not enough to be hired. You must also choose to join, which is an emotional consideration about trusting and developing relationships with others and so on. And if you've simply been hired, but then you want raises and you want training or you want something done specially outside of organizational systems and you have not joined, you will get less consideration than someone else. The direct who says, I don't want to share about my family, but then says to her boss, I'd like some time for my family. You know, I've recommended to a couple of my friends when they brought me their colleagues or associates, and they said, you know, I have this problem with a direct who won't tell me anything about his or her family, doesn't want to share, but then ask for time for their family. I'd say, gee, I didn't know you had any, so I'm going to have to decline. And it was tongue in cheek, but you may be able to have it both ways because your boss is uncertain. But doing that, not sharing about your family, and then expecting there to be dispensations for the family, if there are not very strict work rules that define what the company owes you, which would often be in a union environment, at least in the United States, you're probably barking up the wrong tree. It's unlikely that those considerations, to use Wendy's word, will be granted to you.
Exactly. I mean, even if you're a high performer, if you just put yourself in your boss's shoes and you go up to her and say, can I leave early on Wednesday afternoons? I'll make it up on Tuesday and Thursday. And you think that your boss is going to say, well, that's the same hours. That's fine.
Yeah.
That, like, of course they're not going to do that. They're going to want to know why.
Yeah.
And why should they be giving this to you? And what are you doing? Because who knows, you know, for the boss, it could be that you're going and working for a competitor, or you're, I don't know, starting a union, or anything. You could be doing something detrimental to the company. You could be doing something detrimental to yourself and your performance. She doesn't know. And even if it's nothing, even if it's just you're leaving early for a class, she doesn't know that. And then the other people in the team start coming to her and saying, you know, Bill leaves early. Can I leave early? And she doesn't have a reason. Then she has no reason to say no to the other people.
Right. And you're making your boss's job harder in order to make your job easier. And at some point, that's going to work against you. Not because your boss is going to retaliate, but your boss is simply going to say, if you're going to play me with your cards so close to your vest that I'll never know what you have, then I'm going to play my cards close to the vest, because I can only give so much before I feel I'm being taken advantage of. Now, you might say about that manager, well, she should still do it for me. That may be so, but she's a person too. You play your cards close to the vest, you can't carp about somebody else playing their cards close to the vest with you. You can't. I mean, well, you can, but you won't get very far in terms of the law of reciprocity and reasonableness. Yeah. So you want to take your wife or your husband to a medical appointment. You want to work from home. You want a little bit of leeway because you have some illness, some flexibility so you can attend classes. Okay, fine. We respect that. And those things generally are granted, not based strictly on work rules and not just on performance alone, but also on trust. Although I will tell you, it's really hard to be considered an exceptionally high performer and have a very low trust relationship with your boss. It just is.
Yeah, that's true. Those two things don't normally go together.
Yeah, and the reason why is important. I just tell you, you don't want to tell me why? Okay. Then whenever the company changes systems or processes or changes directions or does something different in the quarter, and you say, you know, it helped me to know why. You know, I'd raise one eyebrow at you and say, yeah, it'd have been helpful for me to know why you wanted to have that time off last week, but you weren't forthcoming with it. But if that's the relationship we're having, you don't get to know why. Now, actually, I'm not going to treat you that way, but at some point, again, I'm going to feel that I'm being taken advantage of. And now, because I'm human, whether you agree with it or not, and the fact is you're wrong, but let's forget that for a moment, whether you like it or not, I'm going to begin to withhold things that you might think you've earned. And because I'm the person who makes the decision, in the same way that you're the person that makes the decision about how much you share, I get to decide that, and you have to live with it.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to be climbing closer together.
Yeah.
In terms of you make a step and she makes a step, and you make a step and she makes a step, and eventually you're coming closer together. But if you won't step, and you're expecting her to step every time, there's only two or three times she's going to do it, and then she's going to go, I'm not getting anything for this, so no.
Yeah, but let's give them an example where maybe there's a little bit more sharing. What might you say that would, you know, for leaving early Wednesday, for instance, the example you mentioned?
Okay. So, for example, if you went to your boss and you said, I'd like to leave early on Wednesday afternoons. I have a medical appointment that I need to make weekly for the next 10 weeks. That sounds like you're sharing.
You're closer.
Yeah. It's a medical appointment. It's a bit closer. It's much easier for her to say, no, I'm sorry, you can't leave early on Wednesday. Bill has a reason.
Yeah.
And I can't just, I'm not just changing his hours just because he wants him to. And no, I'm not going to do that. So
you're saying that more sharing makes it easier for your boss, to say, yes, I've made a dispensation for Bill, this guy who asked for time off for the medical appointment, and she understands why, and she cares about Bill, and she respects that doctors may not have the hours or the appointment times that are perfect for our operations facility, whatever, and that allows her to be able to say, when somebody else says, hey, I'd like to leave early, Bill gets to leave early. No, I'm sorry, Bill and I talked, I understand the reason why, I believe it's a legitimate reason. And by the way, she has to judge that based on trust. And if she doesn't trust you, she may not believe it's a medical appointment, mm-hmm. because, oh, I hate to tell you folks, some people lie in order to get out of work.
Yeah, do you know where they're going when they have doctor's appointments?
To interviews.
Interviews.
Yeah, of course. Okay. So it's easier for your boss. And that's why the point we're making is, if you're willing to share a little bit more, for those of you who are not sharers, who don't believe that there's anything personal about a professional relationship, ludicrous, but if you believe that, okay, we want to meet you where you are. If you share a little bit more, you're much more likely to get the kind of dispensations and considerations you want.
Let's go a bit further, because so far all we've said is it's a medical appointment. Right. And hopefully, and you might want to keep the details to yourself. There's lots of medical things that we would all rather sure. keep to ourselves. And you just hope that the words a medical appointment are enough. But any medical appointment that lasts multiple weeks is probably something fairly serious.
Right.
And your boss cares about you, whether they show it or not. They care. Even the worst boss cares that you turn up and cares that, you know, you exist on the planet. And so they probably want to know a bit more, not because they're nosy, but because they care and they want to make sure that they're making the right adjustments.
That's how fellow human beings show that they care, is they inquire. It is not an invasion of your privacy to mention that you have a medical appointment and to suggest that you need dispensation for it, and then for the boss to say, are you okay? Can you tell me more? Right? It's not. And people say, well, you don't need to know that. And it's incredibly rude to do that. You brought it up. Now, you might say, the rules say I don't have to tell you. Yes, you're right. But, you know, sometimes the way I was raised trump the rules. And the rules don't ever say, do unto others as you would have done unto you. But you assume that that's going to happen. So sometimes be careful about citing the rules, because the rules can work against you. If you're 5 minutes late, then that's late. And if you don't seem to think that your boss should talk to you about that, the rules don't say 5 minutes late isn't late. And so therefore, the boss could say 5 minutes late is late based on the rules. You're asking for dispensation even without asking. Yeah, I just think this is a case where, no, you don't have to say no. You don't have to say more. You really don't. But I would ask, I would absolutely ask, and I would honor it if you chose not to. Let me just go one step further. And a lot of people, I suspect a lot of the people, I think the circle of people who refuse to share personal or who really have an apersonal relationship with their boss, and the people who are going to be bothered by what I say next, that those two, the Venn diagram of those overlap very much. But let me be clear about something, folks. If you ask for 10 weeks off, for medical appointments, I'll grant it, probably. I assume you're going to tell me, because if you work for me, you're smart enough to know that 10 weeks causes me concern. And I'm going to keep you in my thoughts. I hope things are okay. And every time Thursday morning when you come into work, everything okay? Because that's what caring people do. Okay. Now, if the next week one of my colleagues says, hey, one of your guys was in here last week. I said, well, did he do any good? And let's take example that I only have one woman work for me. Her name is Evan. And he says, actually, it wasn't he, it was a she. I said, she works for me now? Yeah, she was in here interviewing. Now, let me be clear, folks. If you interviewed from 2 to 4, I said, when did she interview? 2 to 4. And you left at 1:45 for your 2:15 appointment, medical appointment. You're fired. You lied. Now, some of you are saying, oh, I can't believe you do that, right? No, you committed the sin of commission. You didn't omit something. You knew that you had cover of care and concern, something which you weren't willing to step into the marketplace of care and concern for by saying, let me give you a little bit more information. And then you took advantage of my lack of knowledge to essentially passively mislead me. That's lying. And I would terminate you the next day, while at the same time hoping that your appointments go well. Now, some of you are saying, well, that's why I don't share at all. Well, okay.
Well, let's hope you don't share and you don't lie.
Yes, exactly.
I'm on your own. Lying is done for me. So.
Yeah.
And another way of looking at it is, if let's assume that you genuinely went to a medical appointment, yes, you weren't going to an interview, and something happened, and the next day you don't feel, you know, you feel miserable. There's something in your body that isn't right following the appointment. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to call in and say to your boss, look, it wasn't a great appointment and I don't feel well enough to work today. And for someone to say, don't worry about it, we've got you covered, just take what you need. And not to then have to explain, actually, I'm having treatment for this and this is what happened. And, you know, all of that on a day when you don't feel well. Much better to have had those conversations up front.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. All right. The next point you make is, don't expect confidentiality. We have to say this anytime we talk about sharing. We have to talk.
How many
about
times
this.
Have we said this?
Yes.
And even though we're telling you to share personal things, you cannot expect your boss to keep that confidential.
Let's be even more specific. You not only cannot expect your boss to not share it, you have to assume your boss is obligated to do so. For the record, folks, for those of you who don't understand this, who secretly want a great relationship with their boss while not sharing, good luck with that. Like, yes, you can jump to the moon. The reason why we say you can't have confidentiality goes to another principle that you should learn now, particularly if you're just starting your career and you're listening to Career Tools. I'm sure you all have heard us say before, there are three types of power in all organizations. There's role power, there's expertise power, and there's relationship power. Of course, manager tools and career tools are built on relationship power. It's the big lever. It's the ultimate lever. Some people mistakenly believe that role power is really, really, really important. It is at times, but not as much as people think. But let's talk about role power for a second. Wendy's my boss, and she has role power over me. It's limited, but she has it. Wendy's role power, the definition of role power in its very most concentrated form, is the ability to speak for the firm. Meaning, let's take example of the CEO changes the accounting system, or the CFO changes the accounting system, and there is a waterfall series of meetings in which Wendy as a manager is told, okay, you got to tell your people, here's the new accounting system, here's the new expense reporting system, blah, 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 blah. Okay, and Wendy says, okay, this is the way we're doing it, company has a new standard, here it is, I'm training you on it, blah, blah, blah. Good. And everybody goes, great, I gotta do the accounting system the new way. That is Wendy speaking for the company. That is the company saying, you are the company to your directs, because when you say this to them, you speak with the authority of the company, the entire company, including the CEO. What people don't understand is that what that means is, if Wendy speaks for the company, then when you speak to Wendy, you are speaking to the company. That's the parallelism, the reciprocity rule that allows that to happen. Wendy can't be able to speak for the firm, but then privately be able to listen only for herself. That puts her in a duality that is not sustainable in organizational theory and organizational behavior. So when you speak to your boss, you can't assume confidentiality, and it's safe to say you should assume that confidentiality will not only not be considered, but will be broken. Not because your boss wants to share it, but because there is a situation that may occur where, even randomly, where they will assume they will have to share it. They might very well be able to keep your confidence as long as it doesn't impinge on anything else, but they will do that fairly dispassionately in most cases. Because if you've not been a boss before, that's a tough situation to be in. So if your boss has to justify changing your schedule, and it takes some other people being involved who would see the time card or whatever, that reason may have to be shared. And the only reason that he or she will have is the one you gave her.
Exactly.
So I know that sounds harsh, but I wouldn't want to be 23, 24, 25 and not know that fundamental principle of all organizations. If you work in an organization where you don't think this principle is true, it's probably only because your boss doesn't know what he or she is doing, and they are taking all the risks themselves, and you may very well put them in a situation where you treat them as your friend, because in fact you are friends with them. They keep your secret, their boss finds out, is shocked and embarrassed to discover they don't know this principle, and your boss is the one who will be punished. Because when you ask for confidentiality, you can do that all you want, but your boss granting it is the error, is the risk, is the fault. Sorry, boy, I sounded like that was a sermon there. I didn't. But I don't want people to trip on that. I don't want people to trip on it.
Anything I ever tell you, I assume that Mike knows too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you own the company and there's reasons why you might need to tell him. So.
Yep.
Okay, so the final part is, judge risk by your boss's behavior. And clearly there is risk in exposing your reason for needing dispensation. Like, some bosses are threatened by people who take courses outside of the workplace because they think that you might leave. If you say, I need time off for an MBA, they might say no, or they might make your life harder in other ways because they're afraid that you'll leave if you've got an MBA. There's people without children who are completely baffled as to why you need to be at every Christmas play. Like, the child's going, he's going to have another one next year. Why do you have to go this time? There's bosses who have never experienced illness or the illness of someone close to them, and they don't understand how that affects you. So there's some people who might do something deliberately, and there's some bosses who might do something out of ignorance. Mm-hmm. But the reception's not always going to be what you want it to. And some people will give you the dispensation that you want, even though they give you a hard time about it. And some people will refuse, and they'll hold the whole thing against you forever.
Yeah.
One of the things we say when we're interviewing is past behavior predicts future behavior.
Yeah, or put differently, more precisely, the best predictor, not the perfect predictor, but the best predictor, and therefore among intelligent professionals, the only predictor of future behavior, is a studied review of past behavior.
Yeah, exactly. And since most people are not on a conscious effort to change, not on a path of conscious effort to change, probably what your boss will do is what they've done in the past. Yeah. So, I mean, often sharing more is received much better than we think it's going to be. We build it up in our minds, and often people, you know, people are human and they say, of course I'll do that for you.
Yeah.
And you have to judge the risk based on what your boss has done.
What your boss has done in the past.
We can't tell you what that is.
And I'll tell you one of my pet peeves. When Wendy and I were talking about this guidance, I laugh because it's one of my all-time pet peeves. People assuming that when they have children that are ages 3, 5, 7, 10, 12, 14, that they're going to be able to go home early for pageants and plays and because of commute times, and they're going to be able to coach soccer or coach Little League or coach football.
Or the other people have to stay home.
Yeah.
At work.
Yeah, but my point was that okay, they ask for time, and they're shocked if their boss doesn't give it. And then some of those people then are shocked when the boss comes down on Thursday afternoon and goes, look, we've got a problem. I need everybody to stay late tomorrow, a couple hours. We need to have a meeting. I can't take people off the floor. We have a heavy load, a call load tomorrow, for instance, in a call center, and I need to stay late. And people look and say, you can't do that. You can't do that to me. Well, but why not? We gave you some dispensation your way. Can't you give us, I've given you 10 hours off this month and I paid you. Why wouldn't you give me two? Well, I need more notice. Well, but you didn't give me any more notice. And the person goes home and says, I can't believe those people. And that leads us to our summary, right? Which is reciprocity. If you want a favor from me, generally speaking, most people assume you're going to give something first. And so from your boss, you probably have to give him a reason to give it to you. Maybe it's a little more detailed than you might normally give if you're not an open person. But now you have some calculus to consider about whether or not you really want it or need it, and whether or not you're willing to play the human game call it a game if you want, play the human game of reciprocity.
Exactly.
Good. Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
That's it, everybody. Sharing personal information with your boss? Got to be careful. There are boundaries. Come back next week. We'll see you then.